In this third and final part of our Cancer 101 discussion, cancer surgeon Dr. Flavio Rocha, who we heard from in episode 1, returns addressing the price of cancer screening and treatment and gives us an overview of the Pathfinder study. And we'll be closing the episode out with an introduction to Dr. Mort Murray. There's always this concern about the price of any type of treatment. A lot of these preventative measures are free, though. And the name of this series is Screening is the Future. It is how we find cancer early and fight it. So is screening covered by insurance?
Yeah, so obviously you touch on a very important piece that we talk about, the financial toxicity of cancer treatment. And for the things that we talked about in the show so far, you know, things like breast cancer screening, colon cancer screening, that's all covered by insurance and covered by Medicare.
Yeah.
Certainly some of the newer things that are just coming out, research are not. And this is where, again, a treatment may be available and covered by a clinical trial that normally would not be covered if you were to just try to go get it at your local doctor's office. So that's in some ways another incentive to enroll in clinical trials, to have access to cutting edge, you know, treatments that may not be approved or tested yet thoroughly. But this is something where we could improve. I mean, I think part of the problem with cancer treatment is that for the folks that are not insured, can be very, very costly, and can really create a big dent in families and your livelihood.
And that's the same for any early detection processes. Like it's basically going to be similar, where there may be some things that are covered by insurance.
Yeah, typically, if any kind of screening modality that that is available is typically covered. I mean, obviously, we can't get things like PET scans for everybody because, again, it's not proven and they're expensive. But for things that we have good data on, so for example, the latest thing that we talked about is CAT scans for lung cancer. So in smokers, that's now covered because we've now shown that there's data to support screening.
Could you speak a little bit to those of us that feel like, okay, so I'm eating well, I'm exercising, I'm doing all the things I should be doing. I'm doing yoga 3 times a week. cancer's not going to knock on my door. I shouldn't have any issues with that. Cancer doesn't sound like a problem I should even be concerned with.
Yeah, I hear this a lot. Especially from folks, I think, around here in the Northwest who are very sporty and active. Yeah. And the bottom line is, recall that cancer is still a genetic disease. It is part of your DNA. And so certainly you can mitigate risk factors for cancer. So, for example, smoking, I think of as the number one risk factor for both lung cancer and for, believe it or not, pancreas cancer. We do know that, you know, our Western diet does tend to contribute perhaps to colon cancer.
Okay.
So I think those are things you can modify in your lifestyle. And we do know that being just overweight and obese is a risk factor for developing cancer. And so these are all things we can do, I think, to improve our lifestyle, but it doesn't guarantee that you will not develop cancer.
Right.
This is where, again, I really want to harp, and I think you're getting the message as far as the screening is concerned.
Yeah.
And really, if there's something abnormal with your body, go get yourself checked out.
I'm sitting here today with Dr. Murray. I've said this on a couple of different podcasts. The ability to speak to people from our community that look and sound like us, to give us accurate information, is invaluable in these days and times. Absolutely invaluable. I think it's always a great place to start in an attempt to connect the listeners with our guests. My first question is always, what brought you to this work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. It's a long story, but I'll give the short version.
Feel free to give the long one. Because along that, there's going to be so many different places that people I know will be able to connect.
Yeah. So I'll go back, but not way back. I'm originally from West Africa. The country is called Liberia. And I actually was born during the Liberian Civil War. And so all of my childhood was spent living in a third world country that was going through a civil war. So needless to say, I saw a lot of death and suffering. And my childhood is painted with trauma and suffering. And as a very young child, it was ingrained in me a passion and desire to help people and to fix things. And I think that drive has just stuck with me, always been there. And I think one of the most challenging things about it growing up was I didn't feel like I was able to do that. Growing up in West Africa, there wasn't the ability, there wasn't the resources, there wasn't the support, there wasn't the infrastructure to be able to do that. So much of my early childhood, I had just committed to having this desire and having this passion in my heart and knowing that it would never be met until I was adopted to the United States.
Okay.
And that is where doors to opportunity were opened. And where there was really no hesitancy on my part to dive into the medical field.
What were some of the issues, some of the problems that had you had the resources and, of course, some of the knowledge when you were much younger? What were some of the things that you were seeing then that were like, I want to solve this. I wish I had the ability to fix these issues.
No, that's a great question. You know, to be honest, in the moment, in those experiences as a child, I think one of the most basic and raw things that I recall was just the inability to meet simple needs. And when I say simple needs, I'm not talking about, you know, granted, these were some of the basic needs, having food on the table, you know, those basic needs. But my mentality and my focus was basic needs of healthcare, right? Seeing a sibling or a parent get a common cold and be near death. Or die from it and not being able to do anything, knowing in your mind that it didn't have to be as severe as it was, but there was no way to keep it from following that continuum of severity because we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the access to be able to make that difference. And I think that realization just grew exponentially the more educated I got.
Dr. Murray leaves us with some encouraging words to close out this third part of our Cancer 101 discussion.
Well, we're at the place in medicine and we're at a place in history where we have the ability to treat and cure cancer and other rare diseases that we've never, ever had before. I mean, we are light years beyond what many of the experts before us thought we would ever be at. And just the reality that we even have technology that allows us to cure some of the cancers we can cure is unreal. And every day there's new research coming out, there's new data, and there's new treatments that are being trialed to move forward in overcoming, you know, different cancers and different rare conditions. And you think about the idea of gene editing, right? And that blows your mind. I mean, you know, just a few decades ago, we didn't even know what the human genome was. Now, not only have we mapped it all out, but now we're editing it. We're customizing it.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
So we've never been in a place like this. And I think that's where you can find hope, is whether it's now or later, there's going to be a cure.
Okay.
Any new and shocking diagnoses elicits a similar response in all of us, right?
Yeah.
And I think that term cancer attaches a higher element of fear,
yes,
than other diagnoses.
Yes, absolutely.
But then the journey really is the same, is coming to a recognition and acceptance of this new diagnosis, understanding what the education is that's needed for you to truly be able to navigate it. And then, you know, getting the knowledge to really get on board with what's recommended, right? Recommended treatment, recommended management. The most common experience I feel like I've seen with patients, both in my previous careers in RN and in this career, just peripherally seeing children with cancer diagnoses, it's really important to recognize that this is a diagnosis. This is not you, right? This is a diagnosis. You've been told that there's something here that exists that you weren't aware of. This does not define who you are. And I think when we can recognize that and not allow ourselves to be defined by our diagnoses, then we can move forward and make progress.
Subscribe so you don't miss an episode of Finding Hope, Cancer Screening is the Future, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Presented by OHSU Knight Cancer Institute. For more information on the OHSU Knight Cancer Institute, visit www.ohsu.edu/knight-cancer-institute.